construction companies elsewhere in the country. And that is in my plans to kind of explore those options in the near future.
Then moving on to the binding insurance.
Yeah, thank you. As has been mentioned several times here this morning, when we met with the contractor community, particularly the small contractors, we heard the same message, I think, that you heard, Director Sweeney, that some of the significant kind of barriers to participating in the tollway contracts is the performance bond requirements and to, I think, a lot lesser extent, some of the insurance requirements. We heard many suggestions from the contractor community, including are there possibilities to either phase or bond portions of the project initially, or are there opportunities for us to expand the number of sureties that are willing to bond projects by reducing the rating that might be required in the performance bond. We have, on the insurance side, I think have already taken a number of steps to meet some of the concerns with respect to maybe taking on a little bit more of the risk from the tollway side in the form of carrying a higher excess liability policies and requiring less of the contractor. With respect to the bonding, there are some issues that we need to work through. The trust indenture currently requires that 100% of the project over $50,000 be bonded. It's a requirement of our indenture or covenant to the bondholder. But that doesn't mean, we would be committed to working with the community, both in terms of working through some of those legal issues, to see whether or not there's a way for the tollway to participate in that bond, or to otherwise participate with the private market in terms of trying to expand the number of sureties that are willing to work with the smaller contractors in accessing the bond. We don't really have recommendations today with respect to how we might achieve that, but I'm certainly willing to work with them in the coming months.
The $50,000 is a 1952 number.
Probably an 85 number.
it's low.
Mike, would it be fair to say that in the current environment that it's for small, medium-sized contractors, it's more difficult to get bonded than it's been in decades?
I would say that's true, yes.
Absolutely. That is just something we heard every single time we met with someone. Mm-hmm. That is probably
good solid companies, good solid mid-range companies that were doing work 5 years ago that really have done everything right today can't get bonding.
So it's clearly something that we need to tackle, and again, we don't have answers today. I'd like to have more feedback too. I don't know if any of you are aware of local or national programs will be looking.
There was an initiative, Director Gonzalez, Mike Delgado was working with the village of Melrose Park, a smaller scale, but they put a program together to do just that, more of an umbrella bonding system, but with two insurance.
I think in St. Louis there was a pool.
Yeah, this is not a local issue, this is a national issue, so there's got to be some.
And there are, I think USDOT has a pilot or something.
Yeah, they do, and I've been in conversations with them. The USDOT sponsor program is housed right now at the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And even with all the resources that USDOT has invested on launching a bonding initiative, the results right now are fairly mixed. I don't think that anyone can really claim success with those efforts. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that at the end of the day, if you don't have sureties and brokers committed to, really sitting at the table and making this happen, you can provide all kinds of technical assistance to these companies, and that bonding is just not going to happen. So it's the bottom line is you've got to have the industry sitting at the table willing to help you hammer out a solution to that bonding issue.
So can we say our next step on this is to start having some of those industry discussions?
Absolutely.
To the extent that we can, of course, and start thinking about what might provide some encouragement for them to provide bonding for, you know, some of these mid-sized and smaller firms that are reliable, but because the current financial markets are struggling to get coverage that maybe they would have even gotten 5 or 10 years ago. Anything about rating, Mike, that we want to talk about on the sureties? Any kind of strategic questions there?
Well, that was one of the suggestions of the contractor community, was is there a possibility of lowering the rating requirement for the surety company, which might expand the pool. You know, it's something we're certainly willing to look at and review with them. Initially, we don't see that there's a large pool of sureties out there, but they've suggested it, and we're certainly willing to go meet and look at that.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? We wanted to talk about training and technical assistance.
Yeah. So just real quickly then, obviously businesses are more competitive when they can increase their capacity and technical knowledge. Some examples of suggestions for assistance: providing training on the bidding process for businesses new to the tollway. We want to provide the bidder with information that will produce responsive and responsible bids as to avoid being eliminated on technicalities. We are fortunate that many of the community agencies that we have met, they currently house training programs and facilities. We are exploring collaborations to develop a series of how-to workshops and educational sessions. We are working to ensure we have broad geographical community and industry representation in our partnerships. So you have heard that part of the diversity includes worksite diversity. The Earned Credit Program, or ECP, has continued to be of benefit to contractors, those employed through ECP and the tollway. 200 bids of 362, that is 55%, have used over the last few years, over the last 5-6 years, have used ECP credits. 33 firms have participated in this program, and currently 21 firms hold active certificates valued at $1.5 million. We have over 101 ECP candidates placed in various construction trades. Through ECP, employees have earned approximately $6.2 million to date, as reported by contractors. The Earned Credit Program is an example of innovation and collaboration with community agencies, union, and contractors. An assessment of how to make this program more flexible and accessible is underway currently. And then finally, we want to continue the momentum and dialogue with various stakeholders. Diversity is working closely with engineering, finance, procurement, and law, as well as other government agencies to address all issues. Again, our approach is collaborative. We will be focused on deliberative in reviewing our options to increase contractors' access to opportunities at the tollway. And that concludes our presentation today. Open for any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you elaborate just a little bit in terms of the study of small business program? What kind of things are you looking at, other programs and other agencies? Or
yeah, we have been in touch with IDOT specifically, and what we're finding out is that in most cases in Illinois, most government agencies are struggling with the concept of how to implement a small business program. The transit and transportation agencies are especially a very interesting case, because most of these agencies, except the tollway, also have federal funds. So on the one hand, you have the state's small business standards, which differ greatly from those requirements that the federal government has imposed. So they are struggling right now with how to implement an effective small business program that addresses both ends of that equation. And they're all, right now, to my knowledge, no one has been able to really launch an effective small business program. They're all in the preliminary stages of conversations about how to make it work, especially with this dilemma of what do we follow? Do we follow state size standards and and guidelines, which they're partially subject to, or do we follow, or do they follow the federal standards, which really are very different from those of the state. So they're pretty much all in the same boat.
We would need an analysis, as you mentioned, also whether there would be any kind of Illinois statutory changes or other legislation that would be necessary in order to facilitate something.
That's in process, yeah.
Thank you very much. I think we talked about a number of areas where improvement could create more opportunity. I think one area that's, you know, not completely within our control at all, that has a very strong bearing on whether anything we might do could succeed in the long run, really has to do with the procurement process that right now is, I think, you know, onerous to the point where it would be very difficult to accomplish some of the goals we'd like to accomplish as an organization. So, and then, does that cover that?
It does. I just had one informational item, if we can, it shouldn't take too long. I know we're running up against our time. On the Oasis parking lot. Mm-hmm. So as you remember, particularly Director Wisner, Chair Wisner, from your work, you know, we have a lease agreement on the Oasis, and one of the responsibilities in that lease agreement is that the lease holder will maintain the facility. What we found is that the condition of the truck parking in particular is has deteriorated, and the leaseholder is making the necessary, making the necessary investments in maintenance. But we've actually been looking with them to identify, you know, how much they'd be spending on maintenance over the next 10, 13 years of the contract, and see if we can leverage that, maybe matching with some tollway funds to actually rebuild those parking lots. Because otherwise, they're going to be, those facilities will be returned back to us, and we'll be responsible for rebuilding the whole parking lot on our own. So if we can leverage those dollars they were going to put in anyway, and actually do that now, they'll ultimately be returned to us in a better condition. We've had some preliminary conversations. There's certainly an agreement. They would probably manage that project, but they've agreed to use and some of our DBMB, WBE requirements and goals, the way we set goals on contracts. They've agreed to kind of comply with that for the tollway, right, Paul?
Yes.
And then have also, you know, this would also provide, frankly, some more small localized opportunities, because we wouldn't see these as one big contract for all of them. You know, these would also provide some smaller local opportunities too for construction that is not in a mainline, you know, high speed interstate on the tollway system or highway on the tollway system, but you know, some real solid work off system in some of these lots. Is there anything that I should add to that?
Well, I think you covered it. We were kind of looking at it as it's an opportunity to, you know, leverage the dollars that they are obligated to spend, keeping these things at least, you know, in a condition that matches what they got it in for the remainder until 2027. And we know that since the parking lots are already, some of them are 40, 50 years old, truckers, you know, they represent a big portion of our customer base. Well, they at least contribute, you know, more to the revenue side. Yeah, so then it seemed like a logical thing. You know, these truck parking facilities at all these oases, you know, they are being utilized, and, you know, we can take care of them better than we are.
Were there specs in the original lease agreement that they had to maintain parking facilities at this level, you know, which might mean repaving?
Are
we bailing them out of the lease?
No.
They are obligated just to maintain them, and they're going to spend about a little over $9 million to do that through 2027. And we've confirmed that, you know, that is probably the right expenditure amount to carry them through the end of the lease. And we think, you know, for an additional $9 million, we can get them completely rebuilt and restored
to a higher level.
Yeah, to it'll be new, so that we won't have to worry about it for 4 years.
Were you thinking of upgrading the facility itself? You know, that a lot of the and this would be great for public relations and the neighbors, is those facilities where you can plug in your air and your heat in the winter and not have to have the machine running all the time. Those type of upgrades.
Not, that's not included in the current.
It wasn't.
Discussion, but.
So strictly just rebuilding the parking lots?
As they are, but recognizing that, you know, these parking lots are, they're pretty big. They're on both sides typically of the road, you know, where we have the over-the-road oases. And there is the customer parking areas, there's the truck parking areas, there's also the little access road that leads to the, you know, off the local roads into the Oasis back door, and then there's a portion of the ramps. All of that property is within the leasehold, and they are obligated to maintain all aspects of that. So it's more than just the truck parking, is I guess what I'm saying.
But the truck parking is a big part of it.
Yes, it is.
Well, if their lease stated that they were maintaining and it needed to be a complete dig and rebuild, they would be obligated under the lease?
We've done that analysis and went through that with the committee last year. So there's not really a way for us to make that case. We would, of course, love to be able to, but I don't think that we can, safely, and that we can make that case and in a legally defensible way.
You know, I would, maybe somewhat analogous to I-90, where we looked at doing maintenance and, up there to carry the road for a longer period of time, knowing full well that at some time in the near future we're going to have to rebuild it. I think that the kind of the difference between maintenance and rebuilding is not a bad analogy, and the fact is, frankly, that we chose just to move the schedule forward in that case instead of kind of wasting the money on short-term maintenance, getting it in a good, solid condition. What we're doing here, I think, is leveraging the money, their obligation to maintain, and adding something to that so that we are getting a final product that when we take repossession at the end of the lease period, we have something that,
will last another 30 years, hopefully. Yeah. So we'll continue to move forward and update you on those discussions. And certainly, Rocco was smiling when you mentioned that about the plug-in stations. That's something that we had kind of looked at maybe some federal dollars to help, install some of those improvements. But certainly wouldn't be a requirement that they make that kind of improvement. That could be something that we continue to look at too as the industry advances.
So the leaseholder is going to make some maintenance repairs this year. They will commit to doing all the reconstructions over the next 3 years. So if we do arrive at a conclusion here on whether or not we want to move forward with this, we could maximize the amount of money that they're going to put into this.
Are they required to meet your specs on any rebuild? We will these monies, right?
We will have input into the specifications and the plans themselves. Christy mentioned they're going to let the contracts. They are going to put them out for bid themselves, and they are going to accept low bids from the lowest responsive bidder. And they have agreed to putting in DV requirements and also our our union
project labor.
So it would be covered by the project labor agreement.
These
thousands of dollars are in there. Mm-hmm. Would it have been before?
I don't think there wouldn't have been a requirement for the work that they were doing. Was.
No, that wasn't in the lease agreement.
A lease agreement that was concluded many, many years ago.
Yeah, it just imagines.
Okay. Other than that, we want to talk a little bit about work plan, Christy. I think,
we checked one item off the list. I don't know, do we have the work plan? I don't want to labor the meeting too long. But the work plan? So you can see here that we've checked diversity off as far as discussion item, although I'm sure it will be an ongoing discussion item. We have a lot of ground still to cover in this committee in the coming session, but the noise policy and diversity conversations, which were significant, we'll be working with you, Chair, also on kind of strategizing for the next agenda. These other remaining items that we were hoping to tackle in the first 6 months of the year. Go got a couple left that we need to discuss.
Okay. Is there any unfinished business? New business? And we're not in an executive session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.